All right, if you got a Bible, I encourage you to turn to Romans, we'll say chapter 9 to start off. I don't usually do a bunch of make you turn on in this 11 o'clock service, but today we might turn to a couple places because I want to deal with it's really a basic doctrine in the Bible, the adoption. And I don't know, for me personally, I did not understand it in the right way for a long time. And really, now that I've studied through this, and I mean, it just makes so much sense. And there's really so many places where you could find these cross references to this doctrine being explained. But it's so fundamental to what God's doing. And it starts with, I guess maybe I'll explain just briefly my misunderstanding. When I heard the word adoption years ago and, you know, heard some preaching and teaching on it sometimes, it seemed to be presented as, well, if you're a Gentile, it means you're not a Jew, God then adopts you into his family. You're not really a part of his family, but then he adopts you into his family. That's not biblical. That's not what any of this means. And maybe you didn't ever encounter those ideas. I bet you did. You maybe just didn't know you did, because I know the circles we're all kind of a part of. So the doctrine of adoption deals with a couple things that are absolutely foundational to what God's doing with people. The first part of this, and I'm going to give you the big broad view first here. Adoption deals with God reclaiming people for himself. And it's not about Jew versus Gentile, any of that stuff. It's just about God reclaiming people for himself. The second thing we'll look at is how this is done, and the same spirit that was in Jesus Christ, the spirit of the Son, so to speak, this same spirit is what God gives to his children. And it is to change the image of his people into the image of his Son. That's what he's trying to do. Paul talks about that. That's the purpose of the predestination, you're predestined to be conformed to this image, and it's the image of the Son. It doesn't mean you don't have a choice. It doesn't mean it has nothing to do with will or whether you have a will or don't have a will. It has to do with what God's producing in people. And so these couple of things, we'll get to them in just a second. But in Romans chapter 9, verse 4, this was one of these verses that sort of started to make some of the old way not make any sense. But Romans chapter 9, verse 4, let me read this to you. And just notice what the Lord says, or what Paul says here, speaking for the Lord. He says, who are Israelites. He's talking about Israelites. But I tell you what, let's start in verse 1 for some context. He says, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. Why? Because most of his Jewish brothers and sisters aren't saved. They're lost people. Yet they have access to all of this knowledge and revelation. But they're all lost, and so his heart is heavy. And they're opposed to Christ. They're anti-Christ. And so Paul's heart is heavy. He says, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh. That's the Jewish nation that Paul is, that's his ethnicity. Verse 4, who are Israelites? To whom pertaineth the adoption? That's the particular description of what we're going to talk about. But that pertains first to the Jewish nation. Pertains the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the service of God, the promises. Whose are the fathers and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. We could deal with all of these blessings that came with the nation of Israel, and this is what God was doing with the nation of Israel. And they were essentially a vessel for all of this revelation and the work of God. And so the first thing that comes up when Paul describes these blessings, he says, to them pertain the adoption. What is he talking about there? What does he mean when he says that? He means what we just said earlier. First of all, he means a reclamation. He's talking about God reclaiming people for himself. And then he's talking about the image of his son being produced in this people. So let's deal with these two things. And I'll tell you what, we'll pray one more time. And I'm gonna go through this. And this is something, I was talking to Jake about this earlier. You know, some of these things that I think get sort of put on the top shelf of Christianity, you know, we're going to talk about the justification and adoption and redemption and things like that. And they seem to be relegated to like top shelf ideas. You know, they're real complicated and things like that. I think that idea needs to go away. Some of this stuff is so fundamental to what God is doing. It needs to be understood what he's saying. And some of these theological terms, they need to just be understood. Yeah, they're theological terms, but they're just ascribing God's work, and that's what they're describing. So let's pray one more time and deal with this particular idea of adoption. What does this mean? It first goes to the Jews because everything goes to the Jews first. If you're dealing with the Bible, if you're dealing with Scripture, the Jews are the conduit. They're the vessel through which all of divine revelation comes. And so, of course, it goes to the Jewish nation first, and then through the Jewish nation, it goes out to all people. And that's the process, and that's why your Bible is a Jewish book. It's written by Hebrew people, and so this is how divine revelation gets spread. But let's pray, and then we'll deal with this doctrine of adoption. Father, thank you again for this time together. Thank you for these words. I pray we could make sense of this stuff and just understand again what it is you're doing and take some of these seemingly complicated issues and make them real accessible because they are so applicable to Christianity and just fundamental to what it is we're doing, what it is we're supposed to be doing. And how we live our lives in relation to the words of God and the revelation of God. And so I pray that you'd help us and guide us through all this. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. All right. I told you I'm going to make you turn just a little bit this morning. But you're in Romans, and we'll kind of stick around here for a little bit. But in Romans chapter 8, go back one chapter and look in verse 23. And I want to deal with, first of all, adoption as reclamation, a redemption. It's a redemption of something, to purchase it back, to bring it back into the family. And so Paul says it this way, Romans chapter 8 and verse 23. Of course, we're in the middle of a context, but I'm just going to pull this verse right out and explain a little bit of it. It says, "And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit." So the people with the Spirit of God. "Even we ourselves groan within ourselves." That's true. You know, you got desires and appetites and motives that are contrary to the flesh, and it's a problem. "Waiting for the adoption." There you go. There's the word. "Waiting for the adoption, to wit," means this is what it is, "the redemption of our body." The redemption of our body. There are two parts to this, to start this off. There's two parts to this. There is coming a day where there is a physical redemption of the body. Just like Jesus Christ rose from the dead, just like many of the saints in Jerusalem rose from the dead about that time when Jesus Christ rose from the dead, There is coming a resurrection where these bodies, this corruptible, puts on something incorruptible. And the resurrection of Jesus Christ is sort of the affirmation that that's going to happen. In the meantime, while it hasn't happened, God gives His children, His people, the same Spirit that was in Jesus Christ. And there is in your life, there is a spiritual reclamation, really, of your time, of your interests, of all of these things. And so the Lord begins the process of reclamation when someone starts to believe and trust the words of God. When you trust the words of God, when you put your faith in Jesus Christ and you start incorporating the words of God in your life, what the Lord is going to start doing is reclaiming some time. I know we talked about a little bit in Sunday school about, and I don't want to be too harsh about some of these days of temptation where it really is where you make a decision and it defines a lot of your life after that. Fortunately, though, some things that have been defined about your life, Jesus Christ and the Father through the Scriptures, through Jesus Christ, is going to start reclaiming some of this stuff. And that's the idea. That's the idea of Christianity. That's the idea of Christians. Paul says it this way, that we would redeem the time. You know the days are evil, so you redeem the time. You start buying it back. Let me give you a couple of little cross references in Ephesians. Look at this one. Look in Ephesians chapter 5. So the adoption is the redemption of the body. And it's the changing of the body from corruptible to incorruptible. That happens physically. But then it also happens in a spiritual way through the Spirit of God and through these words of God. So I'll give you a couple of examples here. Look in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. Paul says it this way to the Ephesians, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but wise." So walk and you're observing, you're looking around, you're paying attention, you're discerning. What does that do for a person? Verse 16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. That is what God's doing with the adoption. He's reclaiming time and He's reclaiming people. And in your life, that's what one thing it looks like. One more time in Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4, verse 5, I think it is. Paul's asking for prayer, and then he says, verse 5, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. So you're buying it back. You're reclaiming it. How are you doing that? Well, we'll look at some of that. But the idea of redemption is not just a future physical thing of the body. It's a present spiritual thing where God starts to reclaim things in your life. And these are a couple instances where Paul gives some instruction on it. So the adoption as reclamation, think of it that way. That's a good way of thinking it. The adoption as reclamation. When you adopt children, when you adopt pets, when you adopt things like that, you are taking now responsibility. And you are reclaiming, or you're claiming now this life now for your own. As far as you're going to be responsible for it, it's going to partake of your blessings. It's going to live in your home and things like that. If it's children, if it's, you know, these children are going to be your children. They're going to be your name. They're going to be, you know, have all of these benefits that are associated with you. Well, that's the idea with adoption. It's the same idea. You reclaim something that isn't being claimed. And as if it's, again, children, my brother and sister-in-law, they adopted a couple of children. She was a special ed teacher and had some students, and a long, complicated process and things like that, but in the end, they ended up adopting these children. I think one of the parents was dead, and both of the parents were dead. And so they were just, they didn't have family. And so what do? They bring them into their own family. They reclaim these children. And so this is the idea of adoption. It's reclaiming. And God does the same thing with people. This is what he does. He starts to claim people, reclaim them. In the Old Testament, there's a really good illustration of this. There's a really good illustration of this in the purchase of land. And people are allowed to redeem land and essentially reclaim it to the family. In Ruth, there's this process that goes on. And so, but this idea of buying the land, and now it's going to be, I'm the owner of it now. Now it's going to be under my name. Now I'm going to bless it with my blessings. I'm going to use it in the way I'm going to use it. This is what God's trying to do with people. This is part of the adoption. It's a good illustration in the Old Testament where there's this redemption of the land. And as Paul said, the adoption to wit, that is the redemption of the body, the reclaiming of the body, the purchasing of the body. And that happens spiritually now, and then future it'll happen physically. I mean, it'll change physically. So adoption as reclamation. What's the Lord going to reclaim? He'll reclaim time. He reclaims relationships through his people. This is why, another reason, this is why Christians are called a kingdom of kings and priests. You are as kings. What's a king? A king is a conqueror, someone who has authority over, you know, property, you know, land, real estate, countries, things like that. But someone who's the victor, they've gained victory over something. And in our current life, the way we live now, you gain victory over the flesh, and you know, maybe you choose to. I always go back to these illustrations, but you choose love instead of bitterness. You choose kindness instead of anger. You choose that's victory over these things. That's victory over carnality. And God's kingdom is a kingdom of kings who have victory over the flesh. They live according to the Spirit. And so the priesthood, that's the light, that's the prophecy, that's the light in the darkness type stuff. But the Lord's going to use his people to reclaim their own lives, but then, you know, in the future, physical change, things like that. So think of, number one, you think of adoption as reclamation, redemption, the reclaiming of people. This is what God's doing with this. And he starts it, he explains it to the Jewish nation through Moses, through the prophets, and then as time goes on, after Jesus Christ shows up, now it's offered to whosoever will, whosoever call upon the name of the Lord, saved, things like that. The second component to this, so a child of God is both waiting on the adoption and, in a sense, practicing the adoption. And the way you're practicing the adoption is you're led by the Spirit. In Romans chapter 8, if you're still in there, you just look in verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. These are the children of God. They have victory over, they've conquered the flesh. That mean you don't have temptations? No. Does that mean evil's not present with you when you want to do good? No, that's not what it means. But it means now you are a child of God. You are in the image of Jesus Christ. You have the desires of Christ. You have the desires of God in you. And this is part of sonship, really. Second thing is, not only is adoption like a reclamation of something, but the adoption is now these children who weren't my children are now my children. And I'm going to make them in the image of my children. But with the Lord, it's not just my children, it's God has a son, and his children are going to be made in the image of that son. And so look at this verse. Look in Galatians chapter 4, dealing with this adoption. Chapter 4, verse 4. Paul says it this way about Jesus Christ, really. He says, we could just start verse 3. Even so, we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Interesting. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. This is the way God makes children. Takes the Spirit of His Son, Jesus Christ, and imparts it to people, now are partakers of Christ. Now Christ is in them, so to speak. And now this you have the Spirit of the Son, and this is the adoption. This is what the adoption is one of the characterizations of it. Adoption's made through the Spirit of God, and more concretely, really, you could say, it's made through God's words, like we talked about in Sunday school. And just like Jesus Christ said, He said, the words that I speak unto you, these are spirit, these are life. And so this adoption is just like the adoption of children, you could say. In this life, you adopt children, and now they are your sons and daughters. These become your sons and daughters. And what God's doing is he is making His children like His Son. And that's the goal. That's the point. So the same Spirit of God, the same Spirit of the Father that God that was in Jesus Christ is passed on to people who trust in Jesus Christ by walking in the Spirit. That's what Paul says. You're led by the Spirit, this is the Son of God. And the idea, it's like, I don't know, we kind of talked about it with the land thing, but this image is being reproduced. It's being reproduced in God's people. In fact, if you're in Romans, well, we went into Galatians. Look in Romans one more time, chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and verse 15. It's kind of similar to what we just read in Galatians. But Paul says it this way, Romans 8:15. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Meaning we have a father now. You're in this family. You're in this family of God, and particularly you're being shaped into this image of Jesus Christ. And so the spirit of adoption is the spirit of sonship. It's the Spirit of the Son. And so a couple of things about adoption. You've got, first of all, it's a revelation of God through the nation of Israel about His relationship to people. The way that works is He's going to reclaim people through His words and through His power. He's going to reclaim people for Himself. And He's going to reclaim not only their lives here, but He's going to reclaim their futures. And in future, the body's going to be changed, things like that. And the way He's going to do that is through the Spirit of His Son. That's why all these things keep tying back to Jesus Christ. It's like, be like Christ. Everyone who's in Christ, you've got the blessings in Christ. He's the example. He's the one we're predestined to be like. This image. It's just like this. When Paul says it this way, he says, look, in Corinthians, he says, in Adam all die. This is the problem. In Adam all die. But in Jesus Christ shall all be made alive. And those are the families. These are the families. And so this adoption, it's not like we're going to bring Gentiles in because you weren't, you know, the Jews are already God's family, but the Gentiles aren't. No, no, no. It's everybody. Nobody's God's family until they have the Spirit of God. And more specifically, in the New Testament, it's real clear that the Spirit of God is Jesus Christ. He's the manifestation. He's the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He is everything that God is in a person. That's why he says, I'm the Son of God. And that's why the Jews get mad at him for saying that. You're claiming to be God. In John chapter 5, they say, you make yourself equal with God. Oh, he's the Son of God. And in him is all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He is the manifestation of God in the flesh. This is who Jesus Christ is. And because he's all of these things, when the Father says, look, I'm trying to make all people like my son. And one of the ways you can describe this process is adoption. I'm going to reclaim people for myself through my words, through my spirit, and I'm going to convert them and make them into the image of Jesus Christ. In fact, I'm going to read this little verse to you. Romans chapter 8. Paul says this. Verse 29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed. This is verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. This is the image God is creating in people. And this image, this is how he's taking back their, reclaiming them. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did foreknow, or whom he did predestinate, them he also called, justified, and glorified, and all that stuff. And then he goes into some other stuff we won't go into, but with questions about why is there suffering, and why are we being treated this way, and if we're God's children, why is this happening? And so he uses Jesus Christ as an example in that case. But for our particular study this morning, and really it is kind of just a study, but it needs to be understood. Some of these theological terms, and I hope it makes sense to you. Some of these theological terms that can be sort of, I don't know, just out of reach for people who have jobs and have families and try to just live. I want to make this stuff more accessible because these things, he's just describing processes by which God is doing what he's doing. And this one's called adoption. And it's a process of God reclaiming, redeeming things for himself, and then making people like his son, making them in the image of his son. And that's what he's busy doing. This is why God is called the Father. He has a son. The son is a man named Jesus Christ. And so a lot of these terms, I hope it makes sense to you. I mean, sometimes I feel like it makes sense to me, but I just don't communicate it well. But I hope it makes sense to you. And I hope when you go through and you read things like this, for instance, the adoption, now you think of all of this. Okay, he's talking about just reclaiming people. The way he's doing it is he's making people like his son. And that's the process. That's what he's doing. How's he do it? He gives them his spirit through the words of God, and this is how he does it. And that is pretty simple. That's pretty simple. So I hope that's helpful to you. Yeah, we'll wrap this up. No big invitation or anything. Just hopefully a new understanding or a better understanding of some of these theological terms. So the doctrine of adoption, reclamation, sonship. That's what it is. That's what it is. So let's pray and we'll get out of here. Father, thank you for this time together. I do pray it's been helpful. It was some verses and more teachy, I guess, but I pray it's helpful to understand this. I feel like I misunderstood it for a long time and now seeing it this way and understanding it. I can just see it all through the Bible, what you're doing. And it makes sense. It makes sense with everything I'm reading. And I pray that's the same with the folks here and the folks that are listening. The adoption is a reclamation, and it's an identification with the Son. And so I pray that that would be well understood by us. And in understanding what you're doing, we could understand what we need to be doing and how we can honor and glorify you in this life and in this time and where we are. And I pray that we could live out our Christianity, live out Christianity, and live out honoring Jesus Christ where we are and when we are in this world. And I pray you'd help us with this, and hopefully some of these things will help us do that. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed.